Welcome to a podcast of Aurelia Community Church, where we desire to bring the whole gospel to the whole person, to the whole world, proclaiming the liberating power of the gospel as we grow, serve, and go. Join us in this message as we look to the scriptures, seeking to be transformed into the image of Christ.
Yeah, thanks, Don and Judy. And with this focus on Ethiopia and Kenya, the service is really just getting started. I can preach for another hour and a half, and we can just pretend that we're over there. No, I'm not going to do that. I just want to highlight a couple of things. We're starting this series today, and it'll run through the rest of Advent, called Marvelous Light. And there's something amazing about the power of light and how it can change the darkest spot. Years ago, when I was working as a geologist, I was in a salt mine down near Windsor. And we were about a mile underground and out under Lake Huron. And we went around a couple of corners, and then we turned off all the lights. And it's the darkest spot I've ever been. You know, literally, I could not see my finger right in front of my eyes. Just totally black. And then somebody took their lighter and lit a flame. And you could see the shadows, but you could start to see detail in a large area. And you know, sometimes we lose sight of the marvelous light. We lose sight of the wonder of God. Let me just read a couple of passages of Scripture. First one is from Psalm 19. It's a passage that I know many of you have heard all sorts of times. It says, the psalmist says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth their speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge." And there's something we can learn from the heavens. Something we can learn from the skies. It says in verse 3, "They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words go to the ends of the world." Creation. The heavens, the stars, they declare something about the glory of our God. Unceasingly declare his wonder. Use words that we don't hear. They communicate in ways that we don't. But are we listening? Are we listening? And then I want to take us quickly to a passage in the book of Job. This is a place where God shows up after Job and his friends have been debating theology. And like most theological debates, they get way off base. They have really no idea what they're talking about. And in the end, Job accuses God of some nasty things. And so as the book of Job unfolds, God shows up. And he doesn't say to him, hey, listen. Listen, Job, I've got the right to say whatever I want. You can't question me. And a lot of people think that's what God says to Job. But that's not what he's saying. He's trying to show how little we really know about God, how little we really know about creation, how little we know about the way things happen and about why things happen the way they happen. And we make all these arguments about, you know, this happens because of that. And most of the time it's total nonsense. God says, you don't understand. You don't understand me. It's not because God is mysterious, though there are certainly mysterious aspects about him, but because we so know so little about who he is. And so God shows up and he asks Job these questions about creation. It's like God is saying to Job, you don't know anything about creation. You don't know, understand anything about these beasts. They're all around you. And maybe if you did a better job, you wouldn't be so quick on the trigger when it comes to accusing me of anything. And so it says in verse chapter 38 of the book of Job in verse 1, "The Lord answered Job out of the storm." And that's a whole sermon right there. God answered Job out of the storm. Because it's often in those storm situations in life that we reach a point where we can hear from God and we can listen to God and he can begin to speak. And God says to Job, "Who is this that obscures or darkens my plans, my words without knowledge?" who is this that's talking about what he knows not what? Brace yourself like a man. I'll question you and you will answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. And he just bombards Job with this whole series of questions. Who stretched the measuring line across it? On what were its footing set? Or lay at the cornerstone? Well, the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. Who shut up the sea behind the doors when it burst forth from the womb? Have you ever given orders to the morning or shown the dawn its place? Have you journeyed to the springs of the sea or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been shown to you? Have you seen the gates of the deepest darkness? Have you comprehended the vast expanses of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. What is the way to the abode of light? Where does the darkness reside? And he keeps bombarding Job with all these questions. Do you understand? Judy alluded to, and I shared a couple of weeks ago, we're out in the Afar desert. And miles and miles and miles away from any light. And you look up at this night sky. And because we're so close to the equator, you don't realize it until you're down there. There's far more stars that are in the night sky than just because of the angle than there are in the northern hemisphere. But just a massive display of light, of stars, just covering the entire sky. And as you reflect on that, you just are overwhelmed with the sense of the presence and the wonder and the creativity and the awesomeness of God. And then you start to, as you begin to understand what those stars are all about, and you understand how small we are. If you go on Heather to the one that has a three stars across them, as a comparison of the sun to the other stars, and you see how small our sun is. There's a star called Etna Cariana. It's about three or four. There we are there, Etna Cariana. That's the little blue dot you see on the far side of the screen. That star is actually 5 million times bigger than our sun. Betelgeuse, which is one of the a large star, is if it was in replacement of our sun, it would extend out as far as Jupiter's circumference. And then Canis Majoris over here is 5 billion times larger than our sun. Our sun's actually on that slide. It's about one pixel, just to the edge of that blue sun. We're so insignificant, and we often lose that sense of the otherness of God and the sense of the transcendence of the heavens and how awesome and how glorious that is. And yet that is nothing compared to the fact that Jesus came. That God loved this little insignificant grain of sand that you and I live on, that he loved us so much that he came. And Jesus came and was born as a baby and lived among us and grew up and went to the cross, died on the cross so we could have life forever, and so that streams of living water could flow out of us, is because we walk with him and because Jesus lives within us as we come to him by faith. That awesomeness, that otherness of our God. And it's just so awesome. It's so incredible. And one of the things, and we'll talk more about this next Sunday, but one of the things, if we can jump right to the very end, let me encourage you. Make space. Make space this Advent season. You know, it's so easy to get so tied up and so busy with all of the activities. And there's, you know, your calendar and my calendar is full this season of the year. And there's so many things we think we have to do. So many things we want to do. But we make space to be still. To see the wonder. To see the awesomeness, to see the transcendence of God. I'm going to ask us to take 2 minutes. I think it's actually 2.5 minutes. I want you to listen to a piece of music. Sometimes listening to instrumental music is a way we can still our hearts and our souls and begin to see some of the majesty and the wonder of God. This is a piece by an American composer called Michael Hoppe. And it's got some scenes from the southwestern U.S. And you can look at those and maybe see some of the grandeur of God. Or maybe just close your eyes and just listen to peaceful music that reminds us that we have a God that's so much bigger than we are. And yet, and despite all of his bigness and his grandeur, has an incredible love for each one of us. So Heather, can we play that video right now? Incomprehensibly small in comparison to the God who is in so incomprehensibly big. There's no limit. And yet the God who spoke this, scientists say, this 95 billion light years across universe, this universe we live in into existence, this God is also so desperately in love with each one of us. with us people who live on this little grain of sand that circles this little sun, this little galaxy among trillions of other galaxies. Make space. Make space this Advent. Carve it out. If we lose that, we're less than human. If we don't make space, we're not really worshiping the true God, because the true God is awe-inspiring. Let me invite you to stand as we close. And if you're not a follower of Jesus, come and talk to one of our worship team that was up here, or to Judy or Janice or Don or myself, and we'd love to introduce Jesus to you. Maybe there's something pulling on your heart this morning. And come and say yes to that. But as we leave this morning, let's leave as a people who are committed to maintaining this treasure of who God is, of desiring to grasp a little bit of His awesomeness, this reverence, this mysterious, awesome, unfathomable God whose unfailing ability is most revealed as He gives Himself to us on the cross. Do you agree with that? Say amen. Now get out of here, folks.
We pray that God will use this message to strengthen your faith and draw you into a deeper relationship with Jesus. If you are interested in other sermons or want to know more about Aurelia Community Church, please visit our website at www.occweb.org.